The Surrey Storm Podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemeth.
Hi, I'm Emily Nemeth and welcome to another Surrey Storm Podcast with Claire Lair. On this episode, we will hear from Rachel Dunn, and she's been sharing with us some of her memories on how she first got started playing.
Started playing in year four, well, like most people do. I think that's when I first got the opportunity to do it when I was in year four. So I just kind of did it as part of the school team and in school practice and things like that. I did it in year four, five, six, as well as whatever other sport was happening at the time.
Can you remember when you first lifted the trophy?
Yes, we ran the small schools netball tournament. So I went to quite a small primary school where there was, I think, 12 people in my year, so six boys and six girls. So we had a mixture of like year fives and sixes making up the team. And yeah, I played it when I was in year six. It was a small schools netball tournament in the Huntingdonshire district. And yeah, we won that trophy. I got to lift.
You went to Bath. How much was the importance that they had that whole programme in place in that decision?
It was the very early Bath days, and it was this programme had been running a little bit when I arrived there. I just had someone from the Cambridge County system just said, when I was looking at universities to go to, just said, have a look at Bath, because there's a really good netball programme down there. And I had a look, and it was also good for the subject I wanted to study, so I did biology there. So the combination of that, it being a lovely city, and the sport, was why I chose to go there.
You would have played with some of the Bath greats.
Yes. That was the first Super League team I played for, and that when Super League was first introduced and we won the first couple of titles there. So I think in the first team, you had Diva, Pam, Kat Ratnapala, who's now coaching Mav, Billy Bowers was in there, Sarah Bamer, Tamsin, Joe Bince, people that I'm probably guessing here, but there's so many people that were part of the early days of Bath. But and I think that Bath programme was instrumental in a lot of current players, recently retired players, and a lot of current coaches instrumental in their kind of career and development. Because Jess Thelby, you know, has been at Bath for 20 years. She played there, she was under the whole Bath training programme, and then progressed to a coach there. So I think it's had a big impact on a lot of people.
Maybe Bob as well, when she had crazy red hair and that mad centre.
Oh yes, yeah, she came a bit later. Yeah, so she was a bit younger, so she arrived as a 16-year-old when the Super League first started, so she was a couple of years younger. So she wasn't part of the original recruit. She did join there and was there for a long time as well.
Lynn Gunson, like?
Oh, we call her like the Yoda of netball. She is, one of the best coaches I've ever worked with in terms of her just tactical knowledge, her ability to get the best out of players and her ability to develop players to reach their potential was, second to none. And again, it's her and the Bath setup which has been responsible for a lot of long playing careers that have been out there.
Could you see bits of Lynn in Tamsin? Or was maybe that a bit unfair?
No, definitely. Tamsin will say that Lynn had a huge influence on her career and everything as well. I think she had a massive influence on everyone's, and we kind of all, a lot of people who went through the training programme there had the same kind of ethos and stuff and work ethic and stuff that was kind of like instilled in us at Bath.
Mm. We're looking everything Storm on these podcasts. So on the actual formation, when the initial thoughts of Surrey were first mentioned, what was that initial appeal to you? Just something new?
Well, I'd been at Bath for a long time, and Bath had, the period of time where I left Bath, they had so many good players. Yeah, it was saturated with good players, so there was lots of good players that were part of the Super League team, and there's a lot of like court time and sharing going on, which was a credit to the whole programme. But Storm came along, and it was just opportunity, probably just the right time to do something different. I'd had an amazing time at Bath, but it was like there was this new franchise that had come along, and it was like an opportunity to go and to, again, just do something different.
It'd be people like Sonia and Jeeve and Natalie as well, just making something special.
Well, yeah, just a brand new team, seeing what we could do. They had a new vision, and it's just quite exciting joining a brand new franchise to see if we can help establish something good there. Tam's had a big influence there. She was a big reason for going. She persuaded me it would be a good idea, but it happened to be at the right time for me personally as well, in terms of moving up London where we'd work and stuff like that, so it all worked out quite well.
We had that infamous, it was the Duns and a Dog quote, but these days it's really developed to something special, and the fact that there's sellouts at Surrey Sports Park and just how the whole game's grown over the years.
Oh, massive. The Storm wanted to put their mark on the league, and they wanted to create something new and big and like a big fan spectacle and stuff like that, and they're still doing that now. So even going back there and playing, they're also playing in front of a sellout crowd, and the Storm fans are just amazing, and they make it special for the players, and they always have done since the start.
Two finals, London Live as well.
Yeah. No, it's a huge thing. Taking netball to an arena in Super League, that was a huge step forward that Storm were doing. It was stuff like that kind of attracted me there, that they wanted to push the game on. We wanted to take it to the next level and make it more professional. And yeah, the fact that London Live then started selling out and got a 6,000 seat arena there, that was a huge step forward, which is a huge, huge positive.
Great teammates. Obviously, the people around the team that make it too. So maybe a word on Nia and Tom?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, fantastic manager. It wasn't just the skill set that he could bring from a manager, but just him as a personality on and off the court. He would, make it just such a pleasure to be around. And just, you have the netball and the training side of things, but it's the people around it that make the experience enjoyable. And Tom had a huge impact on the time that he was there and did great stuff.
So the formation of Wasps then, was that put to you in a similar kind of thing? Was it, again, a new, fresh challenge that you knew a lot of the players?
Well, it was a new, fresh challenge. We don't want to push it on. And I think the longer you play, you kind of have to freshen up in certain ways. And I had been at Storm for 7 years, so a decent stint of time, and it just came a pound at a time it was a good time to move, to kind of like freshen up. I think the moves that I've made have helped kind of probably prolong my career, and both on a Super League level and an international level, because you need the new challenge and you need the new things and the new questions asked of yourself and situations, and those sort of things have helped me probably have a long career.
To Storm fans at the time, reading the news on the announcements, it was almost Storm player leaving on a semi-regular basis, but you're still getting that support during events like pre-season and the Tom Rees Trophy as well.
Yeah, no, again, the Storm fans have been great. I think the worst bit about going is the actual leaving. I find that really hard, leaving a club that you've played at for so long. Both when I left Bath to go to Storm and now Storm to Wasps, the leaving was the far hardest thing to do. And the fact that the fans could probably see what I went for and stuff like that, it's really great to have the support and just to acknowledge the fact that I was there for a long time. I did care a lot about the franchise and still do.
Yeah.
And had not just a great good time, but a successful time, because he did build it. It was a team that wasn't there, and was developed, and then we ended up winning and getting back to back trophies after quite a few finals. And a team making finals and winning is a success over a period of time.
And no one's ever going to take that away from you.
No, all the franchise. Yeah, no, those titles were, they were hard, because we did lose a few before winning. But when we finally did get that win, everyone felt it was a really great achievement.
Storm's one of those clubs where Rianne's obviously gone from playing to coaching. Tam's in done player coach. Do you reckon that helps as a player, being able to do that player coach role?
It depends on the type of person you are. So some people are born natural coaches, and I think it's a really hard thing to do, player coach. So yeah, credit to anyone who actually does it. But some people will find it an easier thing to do, and it depends on each person and how they function, and every kind of like player and coach is very different in how they do and how they think. So it will help some people, but some people won't be able to do it.
How have you seen Mickey from afar? How she got on last season?
Well, good. She's bringing good players in and seems to have got a good team ethos going on, and she's trying to build something there. So it's positive, the fact that Storm has gone and taken a punt on a young upcoming coach.
Over the course of things, has that work sport balance got a bit easier?
No.
Really?
you kind of learn how to manage it sometimes. Yeah, you go through ebbs and flows for a certain amount of time, you can do it, and then after a while it's not the mental side than the physical side, I think, because you're constantly going from when you're having to balance the work and the sport. And I think last year personally, with the World Cup prep, Super League and the full-time job, that would, while I was doing it, it was fine, I was surviving, but it came out at the end going, oh, that took its toll. And it probably is not sustainable. I'm hopefully looking to reduce my hours in work for this season, so that'll make things a lot easier. But you learn how to do it. So in terms of the time management side of things, that does become easier, because it kind of gets a bit routine. Like, you just have to get up in the morning early before work and train, and maybe go, like I'm about to do now, go off training after work before you actually have your evening, if you have any left. In some ways it gets easier in terms of you learn how to manage it, but in terms of it is still hard, in terms of you're on a constant treadmill sometimes. And key is finding that rest time and that mental break.
To be fair though, Rich, I really enjoyed watching you at the World Cup. Did you expect to be part of it?
Probably not. Well, no, because like 4 years ago, mean, you never know when you're an older athlete because you don't know how your body's going to respond.
Experience, thank you.
Oh, I can't take my numbers away. But you just have to be realistic on it, and the fact that your body might not hold up. So 4 years ago, after the last World Cup, when I took on kind of like this job, I knew there'd be a home World Cup in 4 years, and it wasn't really on my radar. So kind of since then, I've been taking the whole season one year at a time, and seeing where things went. And yeah, I probably didn't expect to have the season I had last year, and I'm grateful that that season then led to a selection to a home World Cup. So 4 years ago, no, I wouldn't have had it on my radar. But then as time got closer and I was still playing well enough, it did become a realistic prospect. And yeah, I was grateful that I did get the opportunity to play in a home World Cup because it was an awesome experience. And the fans were amazing, the setup was amazing, and I think everyone who competed in it said it was a great spectacle.
Yeah, and we spoke at the time on that 200th appearance. Another special achievement.
Again, probably never expected to get to 200 games, especially because when I first started playing, it wasn't Super League, so it was one of these things where you could actually play for a 17-year-old. They had the Super Cup before then, so I played in quite a few years of the previous competition. So, yeah, made it to past 200 games. Not many players that have made that mark. So I've just been kind of, again, grateful again that the body's held up. There's been a few injuries, but not too many, and I've just been able to actually take the court for many seasons.
Storm legend, easily, and many happy memories of the players.
Oh, many happy memories. Yes, it was a massive part of my netball career and had an amazing time there. It was an amazing franchise. Oh, it still is an amazing franchise. And yeah, and you've got good things to say about it.
Rachel, to me, not only is a joy to watch on court, but just how well she works with others.
I mean, who wouldn't want to play with Rachel Dunn?
Yeah.
I think, and she's always sort of had the accolade. And I think because she's obviously a tall holding shooter, but she's not. Rachel can move, and Rachel wants to move. Rachel can run out of goal attack. She can defend. She can turn ball. She can shoot under pressure. Nothing phases her. Yeah, she's just one of those. Like, I love watching Rach. I love coaching Rach. I love managing Rach. I like playing with Rach. Like, any opportunity you got to kind of put a bib on at training and play with her, she just makes everyone else look good.
How did you see her while she was at Storm? Obviously, there and a constant throughout those sides over the years.
Yeah, I think that was it. She was just such a pivotal part of the squad and a real... I think she's just so humble. What you see with Rach is what you get. She doesn't think she's anything that she isn't. She knows that she's a good player, but she also is willing to learn. She is able to share that knowledge. She's, like I say, like nice to play with. She's also really adaptable and she's coachable. And I think it's quite rare that as players sort of go along their careers, and she's playing a long time now, but she's still willing to be coached and still willing to adapt to defence and still willing to come off if she's not the right option to be on court. And it just goes to show, I mean, she's such an intelligent, charming, smart person that absolutely reflects in her netball.
Even on that 200th game, it was almost like, yeah, I've had 200 games, thanks very much. Just how she is around things like that.
Yeah, and don't forget, Rachel went out and played in Southern Hemisphere as well.
Yeah, true.
Like, she was one of the first ones to do it. So, like, she's been around a really long time and, fortunately, pretty relatively injury-free. She's juggling that insane career that she's got. Like, she's able to travel and balance and, I don't know, 200 games in any level of netball is a huge achievement. To be able to do that top flight, like, hats off to her. No wonder they were chanting her name at the World Cup. Like, she is just an absolute national netball treasure.
So many episodes in and we haven't mentioned Amy, who started that chant. There you go. That'll suit you. We also forget as well the fact that she's achieving this while she's got that top job in the NHS.
It's so hard because, obviously, I mean, I use my niece as an example. My niece is 13. She's in County Academy over in Gloucestershire. She's loving her netball. And she's able to look at it now as that could be a career path. I could be a netballer because it's slowly but surely becoming something that's achievable. That really wasn't an option when Rach sort of started. Netball wasn't a job. And obviously, Rach was insanely bright and has this insanely amazing lab-based job with the NHS.
Yeah.
And making a huge difference. So to have that juggle, and then obviously Jess Dale going out saving lives as a paramedic and then having to juggle her training load. And I think with girls like that, as long as the franchises they play for appreciate, one, how talented they are, two, how committed they are, and three, making sure that they're not overdoing it, and that you do not make allowances, but you just make sure that everything is fitting into the right place so they can maintain that career and maintain their netballing career at the same time. And it's another joint effort. Like, the communication needs to be on. Like, Rachel's insanely organized. So, like, I remember flying back from Glasgow Wildcats games and everyone else sort of milling around and sort of taking their time to come back. Rachel's, no, she's on the next train after the airport, get to work, put your lab coat on, straight into work, you know, with no turnaround whatsoever. But she'd planned that. She'd made sure she was fueled correctly. She'd made sure she'd slept enough, and she went straight to work the next day. Not many other people would do that.
It's almost that you find your work and the sport itself. It's that balance, as you said, and very few can do it.
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, there's so many, that's why so many sort of netballers are netball coaches. You know, and that's not a derogatory way. Like, that's it's because it's the way. And obviously, these coaches are amazing. You know, national school winners, and you know, they're taking these schools to unbelievable places, which is brilliant because it's the circle of life of netball, and all those amazing players being coached by amazing coaches end up coming through the system. But it's really hard to have a non-sport job. And still trying to maintain it. Like Hannah Knights, you know, Hannah Knights is an accountant, a chartered accountant. Like, she's, again, insanely bright, had to juggle her studies, juggle working in the city. Sharty's working in the city on her placement year. You know, it's really hard. And as long as you've got an employer that can support you and also have the personal attributes to be able to juggle, to be able to be organised, to balance your time, to make sure that you're training, fueling, resting. You know, Sarah Brown over at Bath, she's a solicitor. I mean, she's able to fully qualify as a solicitor alongside this netball career, and that takes a certain personality to be able to make sure that you're achieving both with your sporting prowess and professionally.
It's changed a heck of a lot over the years.
Yeah. I mean, just even people's comprehension of it. I think back in the day, if you turn around going, oh, I've got netball training tonight, it would be a bit like, they presume you're going to run off and wear a pleated skirt and a polo shirt and have a run around with your mates outside. Whereas now, we're able to celebrate these female athletes for what they are, and that is absolute machines and juggernauts in this sport. And it's relatable. People can see them on social media. They can see them on Sky Sports. They can listen to podcasts, you know. And we were talking to these normal people who happen to have careers but also are incredible athletes. Keep up to date with all of our latest news from Storm by visiting the website at surreystormnetball.co.uk.
The Surrey Storm podcast with Andy Lamb and Emily Nemeth.